Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome everyone to another episode of Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. I am Deacon Al Lundy, a permanent deacon of the Peoria Diocese, and it's a pleasure to be speaking to all of you. We haven't talked in a while. I haven't seen John in about a week, and hello, John, and happy Easter. So the last time we did a program was the week before Easter, and a lot of things have happened since then, and one thing that happened was our carathon. Thank you to all our listeners who called in and made a donation. It was a very successful few days here at Catholic Spirit Radio. We raised over $50,000, which, believe it or not, is enough to pay bills for about 6 months. We'd actually like to stay on the air longer than that, and I'm sure we will, but that was still to be able to hit our goal and actually exceed our goal of $50,000 was wonderful. Thank you to all of our friends from EWTN who dropped in and everyone local who came and shared their stories about John Paul II. It actually was a very fun 4 days. I enjoyed my Wednesday here on the air with Debbie Giorgiani, and we had a lot of fun and raised a lot of good money, and I thank all of you for your participation. And if you didn't get in on Carathon, it's not too late. You can go to our website, CatholicSpiritRadio.com, and there's a donate button right there on the home page. You click on that, and that will take you to a very easy form on how to make a donation. And you can always stop by our studios here at Catholic Spirit Radio. We're at 108 Boykins Place in Normal, or you can mail it in to that same address, 108 Boykins Place. It's Boykens Place in Normal, Illinois, 61761. And you can mail in your donation. It's not too late. And consider doing what my wife and I do. We make 12 monthly payments a year. It's easier on our budget, and it helps the budget here at the radio station to know what's coming in each and every month. So feel free to do that. But thank you for your past participation and your future participation in keeping the ministry of Catholic Spirit Radio on the air. We hope what we do is important to spreading the word of God, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you for being part of our family. What else has been going on? Well, spring is here, and my garden is pushing up through the soil beautifully and voraciously. I have plants everywhere already, some stuff that's really tall. My peonies have just gone nuts. I think in the last 2 days, they've grown a foot. No kidding. All the rain we had, and now some sunshine, and now they're just really going crazy. Birds, we have now with 4 bird feeders that we've put. I've just recently, I know, John thinks, why are you feeding birds? They have plenty of, we're in the agriculture area, right? They have all sorts of stuff to eat, and bugs and grain and such, and but we wanted something in the backyard, in the gardens, so, and the hummingbird feeder goes up pretty soon. But we have these 4 bird feeders, and anytime you look out our window, we've probably got 30 birds in our yard, about 7-8 different varieties. It's a lot of fun. It's noisy until I walk outside to enjoy the garden, and then they're gone. As soon as I walk back in the house, I look out the window, I got 30 or 40 birds again. But it is fun to see them all, and been getting some great photos from the dining room through the window of a lot of beautiful birds. So I think my new Christmas card is going to be a shot I got of this gorgeous male cardinal sitting in a pine tree just outside my dining room window, and I think I'm going to turn that into our Christmas card. It's just beautiful. So we've got the gardens, we got the birds going. Sacraments. This last weekend, I did 3 baptisms. Wow. I've got another one this Saturday and another one next Saturday. It is so nice to see young families coming for the sacraments. We had a lot of people at our church, and I've talked to some of the surrounding deacons and priests. Really had great participation in confession during Holy Week. A lot of people coming back to the Triduum. Mm-hmm. We had wonderful attendance at our churches for the Triduum. We had a great attendance for, especially for Easter Sunday, and a lot of young families. It was so great to see so many little kids at Mass with their parents. That's really important. If we don't have young people at Mass, that's a dying church. And we were packed, and we just had young families everywhere. I'll bet Easter Sunday morning at our 10 o'clock, we probably had, well, over a dozen infants at church. Really cool to see. And I love hearing the chattering, little ones trying to sing the hymns. You know, you just hear these beautiful little voices babbling in the background. It was just really cute. We had a lot of local folks join the church at the Easter Vigil Mass. A lot of the parishes. We had nine at Holy Trinity. We had nine people coming into the faith. And in fact, tonight we have our last RCIA class with them, and looking forward to welcoming them home through RCIA. And we already have a number of people ready to go for the next RCIA course, which doesn't start until like August or September. No, that we don't. We didn't get a pet here at the station. That barking you hear is John. He's a poor guy. Pray for John, everybody, please. Seriously, pray for John. He has had this cough for, is it 3 years now? Four. 4 years. It's been well over a month. And I know other people who have this just hanging cough that just won't go away. John's been fighting it for weeks, and every now and then he coughs in the background. But so say a prayer for John that he gets well soon. He doesn't feel bad, right?
No.
Feel okay.
Perfect.
It's just the lungs are coughing.
Bark like a dog.
Yeah. So, but we give him treats. He sits up nice, and we give him a treat, and it seems to calm him down for a while. What was I telling you? Sacraments, gardens, birds, increased attendance at masses. Just everything's going so well. Oh, and Curcio. We've got a women's Curcio coming up in June, second week of June, and we already have a number of people signed up for that number. This is a women's Curcio. I've got two candidates coming myself, and I know of a bunch more who are coming. So if you've ever thought about attending Curcio, this would be a great time to do it. You can go to bncurcio, that's C-U-R-S-I-L-L-O, it's a Spanish word. Go to bncurcio.org, and you can get an information page that tells you all about the weekend. It's a 72-hour it's not really a retreat, but it is kind of, sort of, but it's not. So look at the fact page. It'll explain it to you. But it's 72 hours away from the hustle and bustle of home and work and just life stress in general, and just relaxing with a bunch of Christian friends from all different denominations here in town. And it's just you and your friends and the Holy Spirit for 72 hours. We feed you like royalty. We entertain you with great fun entertainment. We have some beautiful liturgical moments, some great meditation time, and some great lessons from clergy and laity about enriching your life as a Christian. So wherever you are in your Christian journey, it really doesn't matter. There's something for everyone at Curcio, and We even put you up in a hotel for 3 nights, and we're talking $110 is all it costs. You can't even, there's no hotel in town you can stay at for 3 nights for $110. And we put you up in the hotel, we feed you, we entertain you, we enrich your Christian life for $110. It's really a great deal. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of good Christian fellowship and prayer time. So please consider Curcio, second weekend of June, ladies Curcio. And we hope to see you there. It's just a great time. It'll be held at, I believe, at Holy Trinity Church again. So so come see us. Lots going on, just a lot of stuff going on. Had a wonderful Easter. I hope you had a good one. Everyone listening at home, hope you had a nice time with family. My son and his wife were in from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, and it's always good to see them. He's here for 10 days. This is the longest he's visited in 12 years since they moved out there. He's been home for a few days, a couple of times, but not often, but this time got to spend 10 days. And he helped me with some woodworking projects and did some yard work with me and just kind of hung around with Dad, and it was very cool. Yeah, it was nice. It was a great way. Couldn't see him much during Holy Week because I was busy. Man, was I busy. It was, it's kind of all hands on deck at the church between priests, deacons, office staff. Holy Week is quite busy, but boy, such beautiful liturgies we had. It was just, I sang I chanted the Exalted. Had never done that before. And I thought my wife had the best comment. No one complained. I'm very grateful for that. Thank you. If any of you heard it and didn't like it, thank you for not saying anything to me or to my pastor. Thanks for just keeping your opinion to yourself. My wife probably had the best comment, which was, wow, you got all the right notes. They weren't necessarily in the right place, but you had all the right notes. So it was my version of the Exalted, but it went fine. It went fine. The our choir director of many, many years thought it was very well done, and then he quit. So he swears it wasn't because of me, but it was time for him to retire. It just happened to be the day that I chanted the Exalted for the first time. So I hope it was a very spiritual time, holy time for you. And remember, it's not over. We're still in Easter time. This is such an important liturgical season for us, such an important event, the resurrection of Christ, that it's not something that we let go in just a day or even a week. I mean, it's Easter Day for 8 days for us. That's how important the day is, that we can't let go of it for 8 days. But we're still in Easter time, and we will remain there until Pentecost in mid-May. May, I want to say 19th, 17th or 19th. I should know this. 17th or 19th. I know it's not the 18th. It's the 17th or the 19th, whichever that Sunday is. That's also the day we find out for certain which churches in the Peoria Diocese will remain open and which ones will become no longer in use. And we're talking a lot of churches, a lot of our facilities. It's just a sign of the times. We not only have fewer young men being called to the priesthood, which has been going on for decades. It's just finally coming to a critical point. But we've also, because of us baby boomers, we built a lot of churches. When I was a youngster in the 50s and the 60s, we built a lot of churches. So we have all these facilities and now far fewer priests. And it's just not logistically possible to keep all those worship facilities open. And so, sadly, some are going to close, and it's always hard, no matter how many it is or what size they are or what size your community. Our churches are very personal to us. And so closing a church is hard, but it has to be done. We just don't have, I think the estimate is in about 10 years, we will have just over 50 priests for what is now well over 130, 140 churches. So the math just doesn't work out. So we're going to have to close some facilities, some worship facilities. But take heart in that our faith isn't in the building. It's not the brick and the mortar that makes us Catholic. That's not where our hope and our faith lie. It's in the body of Christ and in the spirit of Christ. And so let's keep our focus on what's important, and that is God and not the building, because God's everywhere. And I've been at Mass in a tent, outside, in a gymnasium, all sorts of locations. So you don't need a brick and mortar building to have a beautiful, valid Mass in. The Pope's done Mass outdoors for tens of thousands in an open field. And I don't know if any of you saw it with John, I believe it was John Paul II at one of his open air Masses with tens of thousands. You know, if you think, if you want to see an interesting way to distribute communion, There were so many people that the crowd was distributing communion hand over hand, passing it from the celebrants over the heads of the crowd to the back of the crowd, because there was just, it was just a sea of people. There was no way you could get celebrants or even enough celebrants out to care for everyone on a one-to-one basis. And so the crowd was just passing the Eucharist back over their heads. It was an amazing sight, that many people worshiping together. So just keep that in mind, that Christ is with us. Two or more gathered in his name, Christ is there with us, and that includes those of us who might have to say goodbye to some of our local parishes. And pray for those communities, because it will be painful for them, and the pain will pass, but it will be painful. We've got the readings from this weekend's Mass coming up, and we're going to talk about how they affect us in our lives today. And we'll do that when we come back with more good news here on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Thank you. Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon was a success. We reached our goal, and we still have donations arriving by mail and online. We thank all of our listeners and guests who participated and who made the event a fun and meaningful broadcast. Your generous donations show that you understand the importance and care about Catholic Radio. You, dear listeners, truly put the care in Carathon.
Hello, this is Steve Gleason with your one-minute tool for Catholic evangelism. Here's the question for your non-Catholic friend. Was the Catholic Church in existence as far back as the first three centuries? Well, here's your three best friendship tools for Catholic evangelism. Number one, baseball. In September 1845, the New York Knickerbocker Baseball Club was formally established and called baseball. Rules were set included the diamond-shaped infield, foul lines, and the three-strike rule. But 7 years before that, in 1775, that game was already being played on schoolyards, well before it was ever called baseball. Secondly, the Apostolic Fathers, such as Tertullian, Clement, St. Ignatius, all wrote before 215 AD about the authority of the local bishop, and they used the name the Catholic Church, which already had the liturgy, the Eucharist, the readings, the relics, a hierarchy, and jurisdiction. And thirdly, my take. To fishermen, a dolphin was just a big fish until they were termed dolphins, but they were always dolphins, and baseball was baseball well before it was termed baseball. And you will love this. The early church was the Catholic Church well before Constantine the Great, the Nicene Creed, and your church history book.
And welcome back to Good News. I am Deacon Al here on Catholic Spirit Radio. If you have a question about Catholicism or Christianity and would like us to talk about it here on the air, we're happy to take your questions. You can just send those by email to me at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com, and we would be glad to take your questions. It could be about things you want to know about, things you agree with the Catholic faith, things you disagree with the Catholic faith. And we would be happy to address them, kind of an on-air stump the deacon sort of a thing, and we always enjoy doing that. I love talking about my Catholic faith and talking about Christianity of all sorts. And so please drop us a line and let us know what you're thinking about. Our readings today for this weekend, it's the third Sunday of Easter, and go through the readings and let you kind of see if you can find a theme. In the first reading, it's from the Acts of the Apostles, and Luke is telling us about a confrontation that Peter had with the Pharisees following the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. And it really shows how Peter has changed, because if you remember just on Good Friday, Peter was denying even knowing who Christ was. And now that Jesus has they've met him again after the resurrection, Jesus has breathed the Holy Spirit onto them, and the apostles are renewed. They're a whole new kind of warriors than they were before. They've gone from being merely sheep's following the shepherd to really, as I say, sort of warriors for the faith. They're not afraid of anybody. So Peter's been called in front of the Sanhedrin, which was a kind of a dangerous position to be in at that time, and Peter doesn't pull any punches. And then we hear from St. John is going to send a letter out talking about Christ being not just for a select few, but being the salvation of the entire world and all of mankind. And then we have a beautiful reading from the gospel according to Luke to wrap things up. So let's dive right in. Peter said to the people, and by the people we're talking the Sanhedrin, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death. But God raised him from the dead, and of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. St. John writes, my children, I'm writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does commit sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. The word of the Lord. So in both of these readings, we're reminded of who Christ is, and that it's never too late to turn back to him, no matter where you are in your relationship with Christ. Even if spiritually you are among those who condemn him, maybe you condemn him in your words and actions even today. I mean, every time we sin, we're condemning the teachings of Christ. We're condemning Christ himself. We're as guilty through our sins today as the people were who screamed in Jesus's time for his crucifixion. We betray him as much through our sins now as they did through their words and actions then. But John and Peter and Luke are all telling us it's never too late to repent. And Luke carries this on in our final reading through the gospel. So a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way. And what this is talking about, by the way, are the disciples who have just returned from the walk to Emmaus, have now gone back to the disciples in the upper room and are telling them what happened. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. And then he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of baked fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. And he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The gospel of the Lord. So we're being reminded again in all these readings about the opportunity for repentance. Christ says it's never too late to come to him, and don't think of him as some kind of a ghost. Christ is real. Christ was here on earth with us personally and present, and that what you read in scriptures are the witnesses of the disciples and the apostles, and it can be trusted. And what he said then was what was said by the prophets hundreds of years before Christ was even born, and it is still true today. If you want to read something really, really amazing, and this is no matter what branch of Christianity you're a part of, or what you believe as far as your doctrines and your dogmas, we're just talking just scriptural truth. Go back and read Isaiah 53. Read that entire chapter and see how hundreds of years before the incarnation of Christ, how the Holy Spirit came to Isaiah and how he proclaimed everything about the birth of Christ. I mean, the Virgin Mother, that he would come from Bethlehem, the need for his suffering and for his death and for his resurrection are all there from the prophets hundreds of years before it actually happened. And then Christ fulfilled all those prophecies and more. And you can find the words of the prophets throughout all the writings of the apostles and the disciples in the New Testament. They all refer back to things said by Isaiah and Jeremiah and some of the other prophets there. It's all there being said. See, it's actually happening. So what you read in Scripture, you can count on, you can trust. We call trust faith. You can have faith in this, and you can have faith in Christ. And no matter how long you've been away from the church, no matter how long you've separated yourself from Christ, it's never too late to come back. But the effort has to come from you. And I love the part of this gospel where Jesus showed them the hands and feet and said, it's me. Remember what I said. Trust in what I told you. But then he said, kind of out of the blue, do you have anything to eat? Which at first seems kind of strange. Why would he say that? And then they gave him something to eat, and he did that to prove that he was real, because what need would a ghost have for food, right? You never see, in all these accounts of people who say they've seen ghosts, which, by the way, they haven't, they never say, well, they sat down and ate a roll with me, right? So it's interesting that when Jesus showed himself on the shore to the apostles, they sat and ate fish together. And now he comes to them in the upper room and he eats with them again. It seems so often encounters with Christ include food. Well, our encounters with Christ at Mass includes food. Jesus says, come eat with me. Share the Eucharist. So if you have this longing in your life and you're not sure what it comes from, if you're just not happy with the way your life is going, no matter how much stuff you have, no matter how much authority you have, no matter how much wealth you have, it's easy to feel unfulfilled in this world because what you're missing is real food, something that will really address what your true hunger is, and that's a hunger for the knowledge of God. And so we provide that. Christ provides that personally at Mass through the Eucharist. So know that you have a loving God, a loving Savior, who comes not just for one denomination, but comes for all denominations, even the non-Christians. Christ suffered, died, was buried, and rose again for the salvation of all mankind. And that's such an easy thing to forget in our lives. So keep that in mind. And if you haven't been to Mass in a while, come to Mass. If you're not Catholic, come to Mass. Just visit with us and see what actually goes on. I think you'll be amazed to find out how scriptural the Mass is and how it's always been that way. And maybe it's going to provide just the thing that is causing that hole in your heart right now, where you just don't feel happy or fulfilled. Christ wants you to be happy. We are all created for the purpose of knowing and being in loving relationship with our God. So time to return to church, time to take part in communion again. And we hope to see you there. And until then, may Almighty God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.